So let's ask the Lord to bless and anoint this Sabbath day. Would you mind standing, please? Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you, Lord, for another Sabbath day. We pray, Lord and God, you pour out your Holy Spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh upon us. Lord, we pray, Lord and God, for anything that's wrong with us, you forgive us for any sin, Lord and God, that would separate us from a living God. Lord, we listen to that prayer that Daniel says, Lord, in your holy book, this chapter 9 of Daniel, that prayer of such a humble person, and we repeat the same thing, Lord, not for our righteousness, but for your name's sake, Lord and God, we pray, let your face shine down upon your sanctuary, your Jerusalem, that these people are trying to give away. We pray, Lord, you put a wall of fire around and about Jerusalem and around about us. Bless the Sabbath day. Holy Spirit, be with us in a special way today on your holy day. This is your day, and we give you the glory today. We pray for healing for our bodies. Lord and God, we pray for salvation for those that don't know you. And we pray for those that we're not even aware of that need deliverance around this world. Lord, we're so sometimes we get a little bit too comfortable here in this place called America. Lord, but keep us in reality of what's going on. Keep us in reality of the wiles of the enemy. Lord, I just give you the glory today because you are the power, you are the God, and there's none else. And we stand upon your word. Give us a revelation of thy scriptures, Lord and God. We pray for understanding. We cannot understand nothing only through you and through your revelation. We pray, Lord and God, you'll make it manifest to us in the holy name of the Messiah. Bless this Sabbath. Bless everyone here. Give us something new today that we didn't know in the mighty name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, for the people that are here, you guys all know we're called Kahal Echad B'Mashiach. We are one of Messiah congregation. And we're here today because it is the Sabbath. We never know who's coming. So we just do our best. Praise the Lord. Last night we were reading the Torah portion, and it's called Ki Tavo, okay? Ki Tavo, and you might say, well, what does that mean? And that actually means when thou art come. Today is September 9th, 2006, we think, as far as what we know, as far as the calendars. It's also the sixth month of God, the 15th day. So the sixth month of God is ticking by. And I wanted to bring this up a little bit from last night, which I almost missed it. I prepared a couple of other studies, and this one sort of popped up at me. So it says right here, any messages? Just, well, do me a favor. Just, yes. This says right here in Deuteronomy, we were reading last night the Torah portion, and the Torah portion had these words to me that were very interesting. And the Torah portion started on chapter 26 to 29, but I went back a little further because this kept sticking out. This really stuck out in the Torah portion last night. Deuteronomy 17:18 says, "It shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom." This is a king. He shall write a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. So he had to actually write a copy of it, of the law. Just think of that, because you know when you write something, you really know it, instead of somebody just telling you. But if you're writing it, you're really absorbing it. But I noticed that this book of this law, that the churches say are forsaken, in Deuteronomy 28:58, it says, "If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God." And then you can read the rest of that. And then again in verse 61, "Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed." And if you read the Torah portion last night, it's very sobering, fearful chapters. And I suggest that you read them. Because it talks about the severity of God, and God's not this make-believe God that everyone thinks he's a pushover. But anyway, the thing that hit me this morning, I almost missed it, but I guess God wanted me to mention this, I felt, because I wasn't thinking about this. The book of the law, and it's a written book, there's no such thing as oral. And the Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. So right there we know there's no eternal security, because if you get blotted out of the book or out of heaven, you're finished. And the reason why I'm bringing this little subject up, it might seem like a simple little thing, the book of the law. The reason, because all the churches are telling you that the law is forsaken. All the churches tell you that the law is done away. Most churches tell you that the law is not anymore. But this is talking all about the book of the law. And that's all I kept finding. It kept hitting me. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in the book. Last night we were reading one of the chapters. It had a list of like 12 curses, and then the next chapter had 4 curses, and then there was 4 blessings, but the curses were abounding, so it's very important. Chapter 30, verse 10 of Deuteronomy says, "If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law." So what I'm getting at is, Shabbat Shalom, hi. What I'm trying to get at is, what was hitting me last night in the Torah portion was, the book of the law that everyone says is forgotten, the book of the law that no one wants to pay attention to, they say, oh, that's done away, that's the Old Testament, it just doesn't mean anything. This is where you're supposed to be looking, because this is where it tells you the blessings, tells you the curses, it tells you the things you better do, things you better not do. It's very important. And the more I kept looking at this morning, I kept going down the list here. Deuteronomy 31:24, it says, it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished. Then Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. So this book of the law, you may not think of this, but the book, that Bible, is a witness against you if you're not doing it. Because if you didn't read it and you're not following it, it's going to judge you one day, whether you like it or not. See, that's the only thing that we cannot be exempt. If you happen to be born, and it looks like everyone here is born, right? Yeah. Looks like that means you're in this amazing spiritual fight that you might say, well, what fight? What are you talking about? It looks like the sun's out. It's a beautiful day. What fight? Right now, even though we're just a couple of people here, there are thousands of us around the world keeping the Sabbath. We're not here just because it's our, you know, we feel like being here because we have nothing else to do. We're here because God gave 10 commandments, which is in this book. And if we don't keep the 10 commandments, at least for the beginning, they're going to be a witness against us, because you can never tell God, God, I didn't know, when everyone knows that there's 10 commandments, just that the church has already told people, that's done away, forget about the commandments, oh, Jesus is your Sabbath. You know, they made up all these little games. But it's our responsibility to actually go take that Bible and read it. That's my point. You can't say, well, my father didn't read it for me, my mother didn't tell me, the minister didn't tell me. No, every one of us here, individually, you have a little lifespan that you don't know how long it is, and you have one book. God's not asking you to do a lot. He's not asking you to do a lot. He wants you to read one book. Huh?
And that would be a test.
There's going to be a big test. So that's why I'm trying to, this little thing struck me last night when I was reading this. You could just, that thing about being a witness against thee, that's pretty amazing. You know, because, so we see Joshua actually did the same thing. You know, Joshua says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good health. Good success. Does that sound like that if you keep the commandments that something bad's going to happen?
No,
it sounds like God's going to be on your side. I mean, and this book that is written, no one could ever say, well, I didn't have time, you know, whatever excuse you're going to give God, you can give that to someone on this planet. You could hang the phone up on them. You could walk away from them. You could say, I don't want to see you no more. But you can't do that to God when you meet him. And guaranteed, I mean, everyone that you know, every person that you ever see in your life, wherever you've been, think of all the people you've seen today. Every person you've seen today. Just think, they're all going to meet the Lord, whether they know it, whether they care, whether they don't care, whether they like it, whether they don't want to be involved. Everyone's going to meet the Lord. You have no choice. So in my thoughts, you know, I thought to myself, let's see, I think it's just wise to do something God says, because, see, anybody could be a sinner, but there's always people in every generation that are going to make a stand for God, and it's people that are going to stand up and say, wait a minute, God said this, and why are we doing this? And someone has to make a stand. Otherwise, I mean, your friends are lost. Your family might be, I mean, you might be the one God's trying to get in touch with so you can go tell your family or your friends, or because you don't know when you're going to meet the Lord. Just this last week, I had my wife's in North Dakota right now, and she just went there to visit her parents. And while she's there, her father, all of a sudden, his sister is about to die any second, out of nowhere. Then I was talking to this other lady today, yesterday. She was just going about her life, and all of a sudden, one of her relatives just died, just out of nowhere. You know, and I'm not saying you're not supposed to walk around biting your fingernails when you're going to die. I'm just saying that we are all just one little breath away. You don't have to be old, and you don't have to be sick. When God says, that's it, that's all, folks. So I think it's a good idea to keep this book of the law. Can't hurt. Our brother Daniel, he's very, very humble person, a prophet of God. He says, he's praying. You should read this whole prayer if you get a chance today. In chapter 9 of the book of Daniel, it says, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his ways, which he set before us. Excuse me, walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel has transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, listen to this. This is Daniel. This is hundreds of years later. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that was written in the law of Moses. So here it is, like this book of the law that was written hundreds of years earlier. Daniel knows it's happening. Joshua knew he had to keep it. And even we'll even go a little further. And he's praying. In other words, don't think that you might think, well, man, I've been sinning so much and nothing ever happens to me. I'm still healthy. No, that just means God's long-suffering. And he just happens to know the definition of eternity. We don't know the definition of forever. We could say the word forever, but we don't know anything that's forever. So, but he knows that there's a kingdom of heaven to gain. And I was explaining to a brother this week in California, there's also a lake of fire to escape. That's what you get saved from. You're not just saved, but the Lord died for a reason. So he could actually grant you mercy and faith and grace so you can have salvation. That's a very important thing. So this right here, I don't know about, I'm sure all of you guys agree with me. Who wants curses? Because they are written in the book. It says, and he shall confirm his words which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil, for under the whole heaven had not been done as had been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. So this is all written. You know, it's when something's written, you can't say, well, no one ever told me, or I didn't get the book, or, you know, it's not in my life, or it doesn't fit into my little routine. That doesn't mean anything to God. Now, then we're going to move up a couple of hundred more years. We're going to go to the book of Malachi. In the English Bible, it's the last book before the 297-year gap between Malachi and Matthew. But this is the last book in the English Bible. And Malachi, his name is Malachi, he says, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb. He's reciting the same words. It says, unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. So this little handout that I was looking up, the first thing I thought was, well, did you remember the law of Moses? Maybe you never heard of that. Maybe, you know, you might think Moses is just some little cartoon character that, you know, and he's dead for thousands of years anyway. Maybe he has no significance. No, he does. He has a lot of significance in our lives. And I'd say, unless I came up with, may the Lord forgive us, you know, because we sometimes don't think about God And you think to yourself, you know, here's a whole life. You have a. I was talking to another person this week, and I was saying, and you guys probably heard me say this numerous times. You might say to yourself, let's see, did you do anything for God today? How about last week? Did you do anything last month? Did you even think of doing something for God? Everyone's doing stuff for themselves or for somebody else. What about the one you're going to meet? See, only what you do for the Lord is going to last. Even though we're for education, we want you to go get an education, we want you to get a good job, we want you to, as the Bible says, tarry till he comes. But at the same time, make sure you're doing something for God. I mean, think about it. He did it all for us. He shed his blood. He died for us. I mean, I can't think of, it feels like I can't ever do enough. Now I'm just going to change the study for a moment, and we're going to move to this other study I did this week. You guys might have heard of this before. I got into a little sort of a debate with this minister because she could not understand that there's no one in the Bible that I ever read, and probably you ever. Do you know anyone in the Bible that ever got paid to praise the Lord? So I wrote this little thing up, and I said, no performances, please. No pay to praise the Lord. It's not about you. I mean, there's no such thing as I'm going to get paid now to teach you guys how to praise the Lord, or I'm getting paid today because you're here. No, I do this as a servant of God. I came today because I love reading the Word of God. I said, where does it say in the Scriptures to sell the Word of God? Everyone's always writing their little books, and they say, well, I just got a prophecy from God. Did you get my new DVD? It's only $35. Wait a minute, if God has a prophecy for you, I'll just give it to you. If God shows me something, I'm not going to sell it to you. What about the people that are poor? Does that mean they miss out? This world has turned God into a big merchandising campaign. So where does it say that? It doesn't say that. Where does it say in the Scriptures to sell the Word of God or to sell your music to worship God? Just think, if I wrote a song, let's say I wrote a song in my house, right? And as I'm playing and I go, oh, the Spirit of God is coming upon me. Wow, I feel great. So I call you up on the phone and go, ring, hi, Lisa, you know, all the rest of you. Hey, you want to feel the Spirit? You go, yeah. Hey, send me $20 and I'll send you my new song. I mean, does that sound right?
No.
So, but people are doing that. They say, I wrote this song, I really feel the Spirit. Just send me $20 and I'll give it to you. Where does it say? I mean, God never charged anybody to do that. Should we charge? There's people that actually charge for a Passover dinner. No. That's ridiculous. Some people even charge for the Feast of Tabernacles. Come to my Feast of Tabernacles. We're having the biggest sukkah, you know, the biggest tent. And, you know, we're taking the... Just like right now, downtown for the last couple of days, they did it last week and this week, they're charging $35 to go see this this Arab guy who repented and accepted the Lord. He's given his testimony. That should be free. Somebody giving their testimony. Why should you be charged $35? Just think of 1,000. They said they had over 1,000 people and they have an overflow. 1,000 people times $35 is what? Over, yeah.
Wow.
For a guy giving his testimony. That's ridiculous. I mean, I tell people my testimony for free. I'm thankful that, man, I have a testimony for the Lord that, you know, I repented. I used to be this guy. Now I'm this guy. You know, we weren't all angels, and we've been around the block. We did many things, but we thank God we're here today. Did Moses or Miriam sell their songs? How about David? He has 150 Psalms. Did he ever say, before you read Psalm 1, that'll be $20? Psalm 2 is 30.
The best of David.
It says, yeah, it's not the best of David, right? How about, now, I mean, should you make a profit off your brothers and sisters? Where does it say to do that? Should you make a profit off your brothers and sisters? This lady was trying to say to me that, well, the Levites, you know, they led the people in praise. I said, that is true, but they didn't get paid for it. I said, are you listening to me? And besides that, you're not a Levite. So, you know, what does that matter? Did Levites, they didn't get paid to lead the people. Here they are right here. Here they are. The Levites taught, they taught the good knowledge of the Lord, okay? That's 2 Chronicles 30:22, 2 Chronicles 35:3. The Levites taught all Israel. Nehemiah, who's a prophet, Anybody remember Nehemiah? Yeah, okay. Okay. It says the Levites taught the people. Okay? These were Levites. They're priests. And one lady was trying to tell me that. She goes, well, that's why I go to the rabbis. I said, wait a minute. Rabbis are not priests. And also, number two, there's no rabbis in the Old Testament, or the Tanakh, as we call it. No such thing as a rabbi. So don't make believe a rabbi is a Levite or a priest. It says, 2 Chronicles 8:4, it says, the Levites, they were to their charge to praise and minister before the priests as the duty of every day required. So you see that all these Levites, the Kohathites, and the children of the Kohathites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. So it's okay to praise the Lord. It's okay to dance. You know, there's okay to, I mean, this is to the Lord, but you're not supposed to get paid. I'm not going to be like the God dance instructor and come and teach you the godly dance. You know, that's ridiculous. It says you should do it as a service to God. Like it's something that you want to do because you want people to praise this Lord that you're going to meet. Anyway, here we have the Levites. They sang and to praise the Lord. And then we have the same thing. Everywhere I looked, I seen the Levites and the priests. They were to praise the Lord day by day. I don't see any paychecks or being a swap there. Yeah, there's no offering plates. They didn't say, let's take a praise offering or a thank offering. Let's take a... No, it's free. Let's take a love offering. Huh? See, the Protestant world made up all these little... I call it the Christian jargon, the Christian rhetoric. It's just, where's this? We always teach everybody the simple little phrase. Where does it say that in the Word? It doesn't. You know, a lot of people, a lot of ministers, especially in the Bible Belt here, they get paid probably some of them over $100,000 a year to preach the Word. I feel sorry for every one of them because where does it say that in the Word? Now it's different if I'm a full-time minister, okay? But if I was in the mission field every day, I would expect the congregation, the church, to support me because I'm out there, you know, who knows where I went, right? But not if I'm just sitting home. I can't even imagine what they do every day. People that are sitting around every day, they're ministers. They show up on Sunday and Wednesday. I mean, and they're getting paid. Think about it. They got these big giant houses and they, you know, you ever watch Trinity Broadcasting? They look like they're sitting on thrones, those chairs. Where's the humbleness? Where's the, Jesus said he came as a meek and lowly lamb. That's a big difference. It's not a sin to be successful. It's not a sin to make money. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying when you put it before the Lord and you're not supposed to get paid for serving the Lord. That's ridiculous. Here we have like Ezra. He says, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets. They didn't charge them for the apparel, and they didn't charge them for the trumpets, okay? It says, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. So it was like an ordinance there that they created to praise the Lord. But there wasn't nobody saying, well, I'm going to sell you the new outfit. You need the new praise outfit. Here we have the Levites, Joshua, we have Kadmiel, Benai, Hashabiah, Sherebiah, and the rest of these guys. They all stood up to praise, to bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And they blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise. Amen. Amen. It's an honor, actually, to praise the Lord. It's a blessing that you could actually praise the Lord. Here we have Nehemiah, the same thing. This is what a lot of people don't remember. See, Job, who was a perfect man, an upright one that eschewed evil, feared God, he said, God exacted of thee less than thy iniquities deserve. You know what that means? In other words, your iniquities, you deserve actually, according to the Bible, we should all be stoned to death. But because the Messiah came into this world and died for our sins, we have mercy, we have grace. I mean, our sins, not just everybody's sins, everybody's sins. Micah says, hear this, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel that abhor judgment, that abhor means to hate, and pervert all equity. That's the truth. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads therefore judge for reward. See, not this. God hates this. That's what I'm trying to say. This, think of that. They judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire. See, the people today are teaching for hire. God says right here, he hates that. And these guys today aren't priests. And these guys, and the prophets divine for money. Well, I'm a prophet. I have a new prophecy for you. That'll be $50. Did you get my new DVD? How about my CD? I got it in smaller versions. I mean, it says right here, you're not supposed to do that. I mean, I didn't write this. It says, yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil shall come upon us. That's what they say. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains of the house as the high places of the forest. God is just, you might think, well, nothing's going to happen to me. Well, you might live on today and tomorrow, but you're still going to meet the Lord, no matter how long it takes. See, God wins in the end. And of course, we go to the gospel here. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, Jesus said, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, go 2 miles. And give to him that asketh it of thee. He didn't say charge them that ask you. And from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. In the book of Acts, it says, these are the apostles. It says, now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was not fallen upon none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's the Holy Ghost that we talked about recently. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon, this guy Simon, he reminds me of people today. When Simon saw that the laying on of apostles' hands, that the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Could you imagine that? A gift of God. This guy's offering money. Look what Peter says, saying, give me also this power, this Simon saying, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Peter, look what Peter said to him. If I said this to anybody today, they'd probably kick me out of their church. Look at what Peter said. He says, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Did you know right now, you may not know this, but there's actually schools that teach you how to heal people. That's a joke. There's schools right now teach you how to prophesy. What does it say that in the Word? I mean, it says right here, I mean, Peter is very bold. Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thine heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Wow. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Amen. This is Acts chapter 8. We can read the whole chapter, but that's a powerful chapter because that shows witness that you can't go buy the gifts of God, and you definitely can't go to school and learn how to heal people. That's ridiculous. Here we have in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 12, Jesus went into the temple of God, and he cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves. You know, there's so many churches nowadays. They're not the temple of God, of course. But even the churches today, I don't know if anyone has ever you ever noticed any churches that have like sales in their churches? Mm-hmm. Or you ever notice churches that have bookstores that sell stuff, or synagogues that sell stuff? Or who made that up? That's not supposed to be in the house of God. They made it a den of thieves. Where does it say to sell stuff in the house of God? See, what you do is, what you always have to do in your life is this. Whatever you see, whatever you live through, start questioning things. And you always want to say, Well, let me go see if that's in the Word of God. Because you don't want to get anyone's opinion. You want to go see what the Lord says. What's the Bible say? So you look in the Bible and you say, it doesn't look here like you're supposed to be selling things in the house of God if you think that you're in the house of God, does it? I mean, that's sort of that's done on a daily basis. I mean, I was in one church one day when we were having the Sabbath. Remember that? I think you were there. Some of you were there. And in the downstairs, they were playing basketball, and then downstairs they had the big sales, yard sales. And I'm thinking, like, you know, I feel so ashamed because obviously nobody reads this. You couldn't read that and go do that because they turned God into like a. Everyone's turned God into this make-believe Jingle Bells chocolate Easter egg or something. I don't know. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's on your side if you do what he says, if you remember the book of the law to keep his commandments. But he says he's against the wicked. I mean, you know. Now, check this out. Now, Jesus sent these guys out. Boy, they could have made a lot of money. Look at this. Heal the sick. How much can you get for healing the sick? Cleanse the lepers. How about like a man? You can probably get a lot for that. Raise the dead? Man, how much can you get for that? Could you imagine if you went to somebody's mother and said, I'm going to raise your kid from the dead. How much will you give me? She'd probably give you everything. But look what Jesus said. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Yes, freely you have received, freely give. Really? Just think of these apostles could have said, well, Jesus, you know how much I can get for raising the dead? How much can I get for cleansing the lepers?
Of course, we can always have money for his word to preach further. You know, they could have used that.
They could have, yeah. I mean, the apostles, yeah. I'm sure Judas, who was a thief, Judas was a thief, you know. He wanted the money bag because he made believe that he was collecting the money for the poor people, but he was a thief. But right there, it says, freely you have received. So that's why when, you know, people were amazed when in our ministry, people around the country and around the world, we sent out CDs, DVDs, Bibles, we sent stuff out. They said, no charge? I said, yeah, I think I'm going to charge you for the Word of God. Not me. You know, when people... God forbid. I mean, when people tithe to our congregation, we don't take it. We put it into our little church account to do those activities, to make, like, you know, hundreds of DVDs to send them out, because that's, you know, they cost money to make all these different things we got to do. I mean, everything, all these little things we got, we use it for the Lord. They're not free. No one donated this stuff to us. We have a whole thing going on. But at the same time, it's not for me. I wouldn't even dream of taking a penny. I think I'd probably be killed, probably. That's a scary thing. Now, if I was, let's see, I would probably, if I was on the road full blast, then I would expect the church to support me. But because I'm here and we've, like the Bible says, to be good stewards, and you're supposed to be not slothful in business, we've made preparations in our life that we can, me and my wife, we can tick on without using God's money. We did that on purpose. And we try to owe no man anything, the Bible says. So we don't want to owe anybody anything. Like, I know it's un-American not to have a car payment, but we don't have a car payment. I mean, we don't want to owe any, you know, some people think it's un-American. You know, think you're American if you got all the, you're in debt. Well, the Bible says to owe no man anything. But who cares about that scripture? Anyway, moving right along, if thou lend money to any of thy people that is poor by thee, thou shalt make sure you take advantage of him and get a lot of profit. Does it say that? No. If thou shalt lend money to any of thy people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. Usury is like receiving unjust gain, taking advantage of the poor. Did you know, you probably know this, if you don't have a lot of money nowadays and you try to go get a credit card, they give you extra interest. Yes. Any kind of loan, they'll sock it. In other words, the world's set up against the way that God has told people. Nowadays, if you try to do anything, if you're not really rich, they charge you extra if you're poor. Oh, boy. Leviticus 25:35, it says, if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen into decay with thee, then thou shalt receive him, relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger, even a stranger and a sojourner, that he may live with thee, thou shalt take no usury of him, nor increase. That's what that says in Hebrew right there. But fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. In other words, if one of my brothers in the body of the Messiah needs something, I ain't going to say, well, I'm going to loan you $10 and you have to give me back 20. Or I wouldn't even loan you. I'll just give it to you. You know, just our church would help you. You know, it isn't like, I don't know, what's the world. Of course, this you can't find this in the world anywhere. This doesn't relate. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Upon a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury. This means something that's not of the Lord. That doesn't mean a person of the Lord. It says, unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee and all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Now you might say, well, God, that doesn't sound fair. Why to the unsaved you can do that? Well, God happens to know their heart, and they are wicked, and they push my commandments away, and they push my word away. They're not of God. God is not with you if you're not with him. A lot of people think they can just go sin all day long and God just hears their prayers. Well, that's imaginary. God says, I'll be with you if you're with me. If you seek me, you will find me. If you forsake me, I will forsake you. See, God's very fair. He's not going to hurt you, but if you cross him, he might drown the world like he did. Remember he drowned the world one time? He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. I actually went to Israel and saw it. It looked like somebody melted it. It did look like that too. And the whole place looked like cities that looked like villages that were, they looked like a village, but we went up to them, it was just like ash. It's like nothing. You touch it and it breaks. Yeah, because of homosexuality, that this world made the third preference. Oh, don't talk about that. We think homosexuals, it's just another sin. They could repent too, just like anyone else, just like no liar. I was trying to explain to a brother this week about lying. No, the Bible says in the book of Revelations that no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven. No liar. You might think, well, how about a white lie? No liar. That means tall one, skinny one, healthy one, old one, muscular one, weak one. No liar. So you say, wow, that's strict. So we had these people, Ananias and Sapphira, in the book of Acts. You know, they didn't just lie. They lied to God, and then they died. They're definitely not with the Lord. Some people think lying is no big deal, you know, because everybody does it. Well, that's not a good excuse to God. The Bible says, do not follow a multitude to do evil. If everybody jumped off the cliff, would you go? So you have to start thinking like, I gotta re-examine myself and make sure that I'm lining up with the Word of God. The Bible says to examine yourself. You can actually prove your own self. And that's very important. That's why it's easy to be perfect. Doesn't that sound strange? Because the world says, no one's perfect. But it's actually easy to be perfect. Wanda, did you murder anybody last week?
No.
Oh, you're perfect in that commandment. Ann, did you lie last week?
No.
Oh, you're perfect in that commandment. What I'm getting at is, you can actually examine yourself. You can actually, it's not being perfect like the world's definition, you know, perfect smile, perfect build, perfect. God's not talking about that. He wants you to be perfect, Jesus said, like your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. In other words, you can actually look at yourself in the mirror and go, let's see, did I have other gods? No, I didn't bow down to statues. No, I honored my parents. You know, you go through the Ten Commandments and you say, well, I don't know about that fourth commandment. I better check that out. Uh-oh, I thought that was gone. Oh, it's a commandment. I mean, I better look into that. No matter what the whole world says, you go look into it because you have to give account to God in that book that you're supposed to remember. Like Malachi says, remember the law of Moses. You might say, well, my church says that Moses is over. Well, no, your church is going to be over when they meet the Lord because God says, remember. And Jesus says, not one jot or tittle is going to pass from the law to all is fulfilled. All is not fulfilled yet. Not one little jot. A jot is a yud in the Hebrew grammar, in the alphabet, and a tittle is a little grammar mark that they put by the letters there. So not one yud or a tittle is going to pass from the law till everything's fulfilled. I don't think everything's fulfilled because we're still sitting here, right? I mean, Jesus obviously hasn't come back yet. And the Antichrist is on the brink of making his appearance one day. I don't think it's too far off. But anyway, these scriptures are just straightforward. There's Nehemiah. And I say unto them, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? That, I don't know, you know, people, they've done this a long time ago, slavery and selling. You could read this whole thing. It says, then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. Also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God before, because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I tell that to people all the time. Don't you think you should walk in the fear of the Lord every day of your life because of the reproach of the enemy? Because they're watching you. They're waiting for you to make a mistake. You need to be walking in the commandments. You need to be showing people that, yeah, somebody's got to be holy, and I want to be one of them. I mean, anyone could be a... Anyone, you know, most people are trying to walk around looking sexy. Well, think about... That might sound cute down here, but when you're standing before God, I don't think that's going to be funny. No, you might say, well, I'm going to be holy. I want to keep the commandments. I want to do something for God. I mean, and then when you start doing it, you really see, you start seeing your friends and your relatives, you start thinking, gosh, I was just like that. Maybe I could help them. You might have a chance to help them. But if it doesn't start somewhere in the family, then they might be out of luck. Maybe, you know, maybe some of your family said they might have never even read the Bible. They're still going to meet the Lord. I mean, they might say, well, I believe in, you know, booba booba. You know, I worship whatever. You're still going to meet the Lord. You can't get away from it. You, no matter where you go, you can't hide under the mountains, or you can't go, you know, I'm going to move to Switzerland. You're still going to meet the Lord. It's just the way it goes. Anyway, this study right here is so clear. You can read this. It's on my website. It's all about you're not supposed to exact usury upon your brother, anyone that's of the Lord. Psalm 15:1 says, the Lord, who shall abide in that tabernacle? Who shall dwell on thy holy hill? Who's going to do that? The ones taking drugs and drinking? The ones that are just being Mr. Cool and, He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. Yeah, the vile people, they're an offense to us, just like we're an offense to the evil people. People don't, if you're keeping the commandments, a lot of people are going to not be, they're not going to want to be around you because you're actually making them feel convicted. And they're going to be like, whoa, I don't want to talk to that person because they're going to tell me something that I'm doing and I don't, you know. But believe me, they're doing it because they love your soul. If they didn't care about you, they'd just let you go on your sins. See you later. You meet the Lord. And then I can't imagine meeting the Lord. And could you imagine meeting the Lord and knowing you didn't do nothing he said? Think about that. Imagine meeting the Lord and you never did nothing he said, or you just said, I don't want to keep no commandments. I'm just too busy. And could you imagine that? I can't even imagine that. And you could say that to us. You could just hang, like I said, you could hang the phone up, you could leave, you can go to Venezuela. But I mean, you're still going to meet the Lord. And it's a scary thing. If judgment begins at the house of God, I always wonder what is going to happen to them that obey not the gospel of the Lord and the ones that, you know, don't even inquire of the Lord or even seek him. Think we're trying to seek the Lord and we're going to be judged. How much more if somebody does nothing? I mean, I know everyone's going to be frightened when you meet the Lord. There's no big times when you meet the Lord. The biggest muscle men in the world cry like babies when the breath is going out of them because they're going to meet the Lord. There's no more pride. You're going to stand before the God of the universe. That's a scary thing. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Arnold Schwarzenegger will faint. You know, I'm sure, you know, if God showed up right now in this room, I'm positive, without even a question, none of us here would say anything. We'd all fall down. That's all. You wouldn't even think of saying nothing, because it's like, it'd just be like, you know, just like the people said, let's, Moses, don't let God talk to us. We can't take it. And other people said that too. It's just, Daniel said, I can't stand before you. I have no strength. So God sent an angel to strengthen him so he could stand there and just listen, because it was just like, you know, it was just beyond, you can't even imagine. God is, the universe is here. Right here? God made the universe. I mean, we don't even know what that means. He's outside that. I mean, you know this, the scientists, they got this, you know, like the galaxies are billions and billions of light years and gazillions. God's on the outside of that. He made it. It's in his hand. I mean, think about that. God made the universe. He's not in the universe. I mean, you know, it's big, 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 big. That makes everybody faint. But anyway, so you say to yourself, this is, I want to be like David here. I want to fear the Lord. He that, you want to swear to your own hurt and change not. In other words, yeah, I'm going to swear to my own hurt. I'm going to say, oh God, I'm going to fast. I'm going to seek the Lord, you know, for a week, and you don't change. He that put it not out his money to usury, nor take a reward against it the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be removed. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. Okay, let's see. We'll go back. I must have knocked it off. Thank you, Anne. Proverbs 28:8, he that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. Amen. Isaiah 24:1, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste. He turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. It shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with the master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord had spoken his word. The earth mourneth and faded away, the world languisheth and faded away, the haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled with the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws. They have changed the ordinance. They have broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse that's written in the law, the book of the law that I explained to you in the book of Deuteronomy earlier, the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men.
So much for reverencing the Lord.
Yeah. The new Bibles changed the word fear. Fear in the Bible is probably thousands of times. I found so many places. The new Bibles, they changed it to just have a good thought, or reverence, or just feel, just tell God he's your daddy. Forget that. That's not in the Bible. Jeremiah says, woe is me, my mother that had borne me, a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me unusually, yet every one of them doth curse me. This is all these verses are about people that want to make a profit off their brothers. And this is a little study today, just trying to make sure. There was one lady that got mad at me recently because of these two young people. This young girl wanted to go to college for 4 years to become a praise leader. And I said, well, we said to her, well, where are you going to do that at? I said, well, you could be a praise leader here today. You don't need 4 years of school for that. Maybe you better go get a different education, and so you can make some money in the future. I said, but you're not supposed to get paid to lead people in praise. And that turned into, I don't know how anyone could justify that. So anyway, Ezekiel says, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father and also the soul of the Son is mine, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and had not eaten up the mountains, neither had lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither had defiled his neighbor's wife, neither had come near to a menstruous woman, and had not oppressed any, and had, but had restored to the debtor his pledge, and had spoiled none by violence, had given his bread to the hungry, and had covered the naked with a garment. He that had not given forth upon usury, neither had taken any increase, that had withdrew his hand from iniquity, had executed true judgment between men and men. See, that sounds like a righteous guy right there. It says, had walked in my statutes and had kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just. He shall surely live. Isn't that wonderful? Saith the Lord. Hath given forth upon usury and had taken increase. Shall he live? Somebody that does that, shall they live? He shall not live. He had done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. That which, it says, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that had not received usury nor increase, had executed my judgments, had walked in my statutes, he shall not die for his iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. The reason why I didn't put down all the chapters, because it can get very lengthy. I just want to make sure everyone dies for their own sin. The son is not going to die for the sins of the father. The father isn't going to die for the sins of the children. This thing that the world made up, generational curses, that's a big lie. The Bible says right here, everyone's going to die for their own sin. Just think, if you had to be worried about if your great-grandmother was a sinner and you're going to inherit her sins, that'd be a bummer. No, everyone's going to die for their own sins. God looks at everyone individually and says, what did you do? What did you do? What did I do? What did he do? He don't look, well, you can't come into heaven because your great-great-grandmother was a whatever. Could you imagine that? That would be a bummer. I mean, how would you ever know what your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother did? That wouldn't be fair. God, you got to always think God is fair. God is righteous. He's honest. He's just. He's not going to trick you. He's not going to try to do you wrong. So the people that make up these generational curses, they sold so many books on that. The prayer of Jabez, I think that's one verse in 2 Chronicles. Why didn't they write a book about Daniel's prayer in chapter 9 of Daniel? His prayer is beautiful, but that's all about repenting and because of not our righteousness, but because of your righteousness, and have mercy upon us. We have turned away. We have lost our way. Our ancestors have instilled in us lies. We don't even know where we are. We're like, I know we're here, but what do we really believe? They got me believing in a guy with a red suit living on the North Pole. He's like God. He comes down everyone's chimney when you don't even have a chimney. How does that happen? That's a lie. They got people believing any kind of little crazy stories. They have stories that, you know, this thing called Easter, they have rabbits with eggs. Does rabbits lay eggs? Mm-mm. Rabbits don't lay eggs. That's ridiculous. I mean, everything, but no. See, nobody ever questions anything. Nobody ever says, well, wait a minute, what does rabbits have to do with the resurrection of Messiah? And what do rabbits have to do with eggs, doing an egg hunt? I mean, the whole thing is a joke. But if you never think about it, you're like a little, you're like, you know what, you ever see cows in the field here? You prong them, they just walk, you know, they... That's what you're like. But you have to ask questions. You have to say, excuse me, what does chocolate Easter eggs have to do with rabbits? And what does rabbits have to do with the resurrection of the Messiah? Those guys with the big, you know, PhDs will look down and say, indubitably, why, you shouldn't be asking. No, and then you come like Jesus says, and you say very sweetly, he says, come like a child, and you say, where does it say that in the Word? Where's the eggs in the Word? I mean, come on, that's a joke. But the Bible says we should, you know, here's what we do in this congregation and the people we know all around the world. What we do is, even though we did something for a long time, some point in our life we put the brakes on and we started questioning things like, why are we really doing this? You might say, well, it's not a big deal, it doesn't hurt anybody. But it's a lie. In other words, why would I tell another kid a lie? Because then later on in life they say, well, you lied to me about that and you lied to me about that. Maybe I don't trust you. So if you tell your kids lies as they're young, that before you know it, they start thinking, they don't know what to believe anymore. Maybe, I don't know, maybe this the fairy guy took my, maybe he is a fairy, took my tooth. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you know. I mean, what I'm trying to say is that stuff, Satan comes, makes everything seem like it's cute. It's not cute. It's either true or it's not. That's where I'm coming from. It's either true, honest, or it's just, or it's just made up and it's make-believe. I mean, if I told you that pink elephants were flying in my living room right now, would you believe that? No, I hope not. But I mean, some people make up all, they make up anything. Anyway, if we move on to this study, it's the same thing everywhere. It says, Ezekiel 22:12, in thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Taking gifts is bribes. That happens constantly in everywhere. You know, there's people paid off on all kind of things. You know, they're paid off. That's what taking gifts is. It says, thou hast taken usury and increase. Thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbor by extortion. Thou hast forgotten me. See, that's what this is the problem. Thou hast forgotten me. Isn't that amazing? Saith the Lord God, behold, therefore I have smitten mine hand at thy dishonest gain, which thou hast made, and at thy blood, which thou hath been in the midst of thee. This study, and a lot of people, I don't know, they might think it's boring, or they might think, well, I had enough of this, but just think, when you go on your merry way, and maybe some of these things that you hear today, you know, take note of it, you know, double check the scriptures, say, well, I never really heard this kind of gospel in this way, I never really heard it put this way, maybe I think it over, go check it out, because it's your soul. I mean, if it's either true or false, these scriptures are either true or false. You know what I mean? They're either, you say, well, I don't want to believe that. Well, Deuteronomy 15:1 says, at the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is the Lord's release. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again. But that which is thine with thine brother, thine hand shall release. See, God doesn't care about, I know this is a hard saying. A lot of people don't like this, but it says in the book of Amos, it says, God tells them that, he tells the children of Israel, I didn't even know any other families of the earth. I only knew you, because I chose you to be my chosen people, to keep my commandments, and to be a light to this wicked world. But you have turned from me. Now, but of course, since that time, a lot of people have been accepting the Lord and keeping his commandments. We're supposed to be light. As far as everyone else, God doesn't watch. He ain't listening to their prayers. You think somebody that's going around sinning all day long, committing adultery, lying, stealing, I don't know, whatever sins there is, you think God's really listening to their prayers? You'd have to be kidding yourself. That'd be like somebody coming up to you all day going like this. Think. Would you like that all day long? Probably not. Imagine God with people just sinning constantly. They think, well, I got away with it again. I got away with it again. You only got away with it while the breath is in you. Once the breath goes, you didn't get away with nothing. God's adding everything up. Just think, he doesn't forget. Oh, man. I was thinking this week, you know, the other day, you know, I was doing some different things and I was forgetting certain things. God never forgets when you do bad or when you do good. Everyone's tallied up at the end. Wow. So that's a scary thing to think about. It's like
he is keeping a list.
He's keeping a list and he is checking it twice.
That's a real list keeper.
Yes. So anyway, it says, only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. For the Lord thy God bless thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto thy many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. That's if you do it. Of course, these guys didn't. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from the poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and thou shalt surely lend him sufficiently for his need. Amen. In that which he wanted, beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, and to the poor, and to the needy in thy land. Okay? That's very important. And this goes on and on in Nehemiah. And there was a great cry of people and their wives against the brethren, the Jews. And there were that said, we, our sons, our daughters, are many. Therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There was also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute and laid upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brother, and our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and none of the daughters are brought unto, and some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already, neither is it in our power to redeem them. For our men have our other men have our lands and our vineyards. Of course, if basically, do you really own something if you have mortgages, or do you really own something if you don't have the title? Or no, you don't really own it. It says, and I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them, and I said unto them, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace, and found nothing to answer. Also, I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? So the heathen, believe it or not, you know, they're our enemies. I don't know if you watch the news. Anyone watches the news here? I'm sure you do. But there's a lot of people that would love to wipe us out. I thank God that the Lord puts his wall of fire around and about our country. You know, there's people today that they are the heathen, and they are definitely enemies. They want, matter of fact, and I'm not afraid to say it, you know, this Islam, yes, I do racial profiling, and I do, I'm not afraid to say that, yes. Be careful if you're surrounded by these kind of people, because this religion, the Quran has, I have two Qurans, I'm a researcher, and it says in the Quran, if you're really following it, if you can't convince the Jews and the Christians, you're supposed to kill them. That's what it says. And I could show you where it says that in the Quran if you don't believe me. It's not a friendly religion, so be careful. I mean, we don't go around. Jesus says supposed to love your enemies. Isn't that a big difference? Supposed to pray for them that use you. What a difference. These guys are saying go kill the Jews and the Christians, and Jesus is saying the totally opposite. He's saying pray for your enemies. Pray that they repent, because they don't know what reality of eternity means in a lake of fire. Even pray for them. They're so out of it. I mean, believe me, if we had a glimpse of a lake of fire, I don't know if you hate anybody in your life. You better not. But say you hate somebody. You wouldn't even want them to go there. That's how it's so bad. It's beyond bad. It's beyond words, because it's spiritual. God makes things perfect. I mean, you wouldn't even want your worst enemy to end up there, because it's beyond belief. It's beyond us. Anyway, I'm going to just go down here. These are all the same about just not exacting. I'm sure you guys got the message by now. Usury is one who lends money at interest, especially at an exorbitant or unlawful high rate. That's what a usurer is. And here's this, the usury, the practice of lending money and charging and borrowing interest, especially at an exorbitant, you know, illegal high rate. That's, you know, that's what it's all about. We'll take questions. Yeah, you have a question?
No, I just, you know,
and yeah. stuff like that. And the other parents of that is, you know, they have a lot of them have a thing now is your percentage rate for the credit card depends
yeah.
on your credit score.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's not even fair to everybody.
No, it's not. That's what I'm saying. If you try to get a credit card, and if you...
It used to be one rate.
No, it's not. They change everything on the credit cards. It's all about making money on you. It's all about taking advantage of you. It's definitely taking advantage of the poor. I don't know why they want to take advantage of the poor. That's ridiculous. But anyway, we have Nashek, and that's interest debt. These are some Hebrew words you can look up later. You can just look this up later. It's on the website. I don't want anyone to get misconstrued that we do believe in dancing. You might say, well, I like to shake the dust up a little. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about praising the Lord. You know, it's okay to do this, but you know, it still doesn't say you get paid. This is just a few scriptures here. I just wanted to jot these down for you. You can look this up. Here's Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron. She took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went after her with what? Timbrels and with dances. Here's in Judges. Here's Jephthah, his daughter came. She came with timbrels and dances. Here's another person. See and behold, the daughters of Shiloh, they came out to dance in dances.
We need a tambourine.
Huh?
We need a tambourine.
Yeah. Well, we have a tambourine. That's no, I'm just saying, like, this dancing is in the Lord. And, of course, singing and praising the Lord, it's all there. If it's in the Lord. It's not to show off. It's not to flirt with somebody. This is to praise the Lord. You know, it's important. Here's Samuel right here. David danced before the Lord with all his might. We have their children dance, you know, in Psalms. It's all over the place. I mean, you could read these yourself. They sing praises with the timbrel and harp. You know, it's just like these churches that made up, these Protestant churches. There's one church, you guys know what it is. They don't have musical instruments. That's just made up in make-believe land. I mean, you know, David, they had all kinds of instruments and all kinds of praise in the Lord. I mean, I don't understand. Some people just make things up, and then for generations to come, people just follow it. You figure most of the churches that you're familiar with, they were all created after the 1500s. Before that, there was no such thing. Martin Luther was a Catholic monk. He breaks out of the Catholic Church. He does some good stuff, and he starts the Protestant Reformation. From that point on, all the churches that we know today, all they are is repackaged Catholic Church, and they all made up some different doctrine. That's why all the churches are not together. Yes?
What is QOH?
That QOH, that means a Kohelet. That's the book of Ecclesiastes. I'm sorry, I should put Ecclesiastes for you. But that's, so there is a time to dance, okay?
We should recognize
it.
Huh? We should recognize
it. Yes, it is Ecclesiastes, okay? There's, you know, and you can see this dancing all over the place, from Jeremiah to... Look at Lamentations. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dancing is turning to mourning. That's the opposite. Now, here's all kinds of instruments of music, and you can just read all these later. It's on the website. I just wanted to show you that dancing and instruments and praising the Lord, it's in the Bible. But still, nobody gets known. I still, in all these verses, and they're from everywhere, nobody that I could see ever got paid to dance or to teach people to dance to praise the Lord, or to teach people to praise the Lord, or to get paid for, I don't know. It's not in the scriptures anywhere. It's made up in little Protestant land, and Protestant land is everywhere. But anyway, there's plenty here to keep you amused later. It's on the website. I'm not going to read them all to you right now. But what we're going to do is, I don't know if we should take a break, but I do have some other things to say. But we could take a few minute break. We can come back later, because later I wanted to go over with you this study. I'll just show you what it is. It's about this Jubilee. It's a little more interesting, a little more, I guess, it's a little more meaty. The things I was talking about, they were a little simpler for you to understand, because everyone in here should agree, and everyone that's in Powell Talk and anyone that's listening, you should obviously say, well, I don't know where it says in the Bible that the apostles got paid. Did Jesus get paid? I don't think so. If anyone should get paid, he should. How about some of the prophets? Did Ezekiel get paid?
He became a payment. Jesus did.
Yeah, we're bought with a price. Yes. No, so anyway, we'll go over this. We'll take a break, and we'll come back and read this. So I say, praise the Lord. We're going to stop here. And if you have any questions or comments, I'll be glad to answer your questions. You might have something you'd like to say. So God bless you. Praise the Lord.
There.